844-1977. Or you can order on our website, alternativeradio.org. Special thanks to the Lane Peace Center and Matt Laubach. The Kronos Quartet performs our theme music. Joe Ritchie is our general manager and editor. I'm David Barsamian. Thank you for listening.
And you're listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM. The time is 9:59. Coming up at 10:15, Flashpoints presents audio from an event celebrating the life and times of rebel reporter John Ross. Then Kevin Pina gives an update on the struggle for democracy in Haiti. At 11 on stage and studio, D-May Roberts features Boom Arts, a theater company dedicated to international and contemporary plays. Their latest production is Free Outgoing. She also talks with author and scholar Judy Young, who will be in Portland to talk about Chinese American women for the Oregon Historical Society's Beyond the Gate opening celebration. And at 11:30 on Art Focus, we'll hear a program from the KBOO Archives featuring the late architect Michael Graves, speaking in Portland in the 1980s after the opening of the Portland building, which he designed. Stay tuned for Air Cascadia with host Chris Andre following this.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud sponsor of the Mayoral Candidate Forum on Social Justice, March 10th at 6:30 p.m. at Maranatha Church in Portland. The forum will be a public conversation with leading mayoral candidates about social justice issues in our community. The program will be moderated by Israel Bayer of Street Roots, Joanne Hardesty of the NAACP Portland branch, and Jason Renault of the Mental Health Association of Portland. Again, that's the Mayoral Candidate Forum on Social Justice, Thursday, March 10th at 6:30 p.m. at Maranatha Church, 4222 Northeast 12th Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Tune in to KBOO on Tuesday, March 8th. From midnight to midnight, as we celebrate International Women's Day with 24 hours of programming produced, hosted, and engineered by women. There will be live music, public affairs with a feminist focus, and female DJs playing all kinds of music to celebrate the creativity, variety, and zeal of the women of the world. Again, that's Tuesday, March 8th, from midnight to midnight, here on your community radio station, KBOO Portland.
Cascadia. Today is Tuesday, March 1st, 2016, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, real community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. Want to just do the weather today. We haven't done that on Air Cascadia for a long time. It's probably a bad choice of days because we've got our guest, Dan Handelman of Portland Cop Watch, waiting patiently. I do want to get back to the weather. It is part of our environment. It is changing because climate is changing, and that is changing the earth that we live on, where we plant our feet. Well, for today, obviously, rain, highs around 54, and it's going to get windy very quickly. It'll be windy in town, and it'll be even windier out around the gorge in outlying areas. And tonight, a little bit of fog, lows around 43. For tomorrow, more rain, and highs around 55. Again, a little bit of wind hanging on there, but not as bad as it's going to be predicted anywhere today. Just a couple headlines quickly before we go to Dan. We've got a lot to talk about from Portland Cop Watch. You know, I don't know if Portlanders really appreciate, really understand how important Cop Watch is. It's all due to one man, Dan Handelman. He has virtually built it from the ground up. And if we didn't have Portland, if you think things are bad now, if we didn't have Cop Watch, it would be a whole lot worse. So we have really one person to thank for making the effort to keep a sharp eye out for what goes on in and around our community. Couple of headlines. A group of parents are speaking out against a health survey given to Oregon students. The Oregon Health Authority Student Wellness Survey. It's an anonymous voluntary survey. So really, how bad can it be? There's plenty of other things to speak out against. It's given to students every other year. Parents think it's invasive. Well, then don't do the test, eh? On the night of February 28th, in an act of love, 50 ringneck pheasants were liberated from the Estacada Game Farm in Beaver Creek. That's February 28th, just a few days ago. If you live out in that area, you might be able to find yourself a lost pheasant. They're beautiful, but they are kept in farms so that they can be released. Here's why. Hunters aren't really very good at hunting. They're pretty good at shooting each other and going on killing rampages. But it turns out that all this brouhaha from rifle people people don't really know how to shoot very well. They don't shoot game effectively, so they have to buy these pheasants, right? And they're specially raised, I guess, to be suicidal, and they're released, and then people just fire away, and you can't miss. So people liberated those birds, and this is one case where I think it might have been a good idea, since obviously pheasants do well in this part of the world. And yesterday, the federal judge, this is great, this is that was then and this is now. Yesterday, federal judge rejected an FBI request to order Apple to open the iPhone of a drug dealer. Today, Apple and the FBI face off for the first time since the federal government went to court to try to force the tech giant to unlock the San Bernardino encrypted iPhone. So that's a double standard if I've ever seen one. And animal liberator Kevin Olive was sentenced finally, only 3 months in prison. He's already served in various state jails, lockups. He's already been served almost 2 years. Again, this is under, they were both indicted, he and his prisoner for under the spurious, still strange Animal Enterprise Terrorism Act, whereby you can be locked up if you, for a whole laundry list of peculiar acts, supposedly endangering no one really, but except for business interests, agribusiness interests. It's essentially a law that protects agribusiness from people who challenge some of its more egregious practices. Both of these men already, Tyler Lang as well as Olaf or Kevin Johnson, have been serving time. I guess that. Let's see, Tyler will be sentenced later on in May, coming up. But it's about time. They've waited years for this sentencing. It's finally here. And Fort McMurray in northern Alberta is a smoking ruin. It's like it's been said to be like a supertanker, unable to make quick turns. So production from tar sands continues to increase despite prices so low. Producers have to sell what they extract at a loss. And this is a good one. I don't have time to go through the details of it. But once again, Nestle in the news. Huge New York law firm is keeping clerks in Freiburg and Denmark, Maine. These are towns, small towns in Maine. Busy with, requests for documents in preparation for an upcoming Maine Supreme Court case involving the Freiburg Water Company and Nestle Waters of North America. Apparently, Nestle is trying to enforce terms of what they see as a 45-year contract with a local water company. It gets incredibly complicated and incredibly it gets weird fast in Maine. That said, finally, we are able to speak with Dan Handelman of Portland Cop Watch, which is part of Peace and Justice Works. Good morning, Dan. Thanks for being with us.
Hi, Chris.
Thanks so much for your patience, too. We received a press release. We, of course, are here to talk about the comments on medical custody, property, and other directives. This is a document I think everyone ought to look at. I don't know if you wanted to talk at all about this strange Citizens Crime Commission and their... there's this what is it?
They're having a special fundraiser.
Special fundraiser, which is hard to understand. Is this real or is this an April Fool's joke?
Well, I'm afraid it's real. There's registration to be part of this event.
For $1,000.
For $1,000.
It's a buy-in.
People can go to the training center, the new police training center, and spend 5 hours learning emergency vehicle maneuvers, firearms and tasers, defense tactics, and then meet the special emergency response team and the canine unit, which are both used for call-outs and dangerous, violent criminals are being tracked down. So this is not about de-escalation or meeting the Department of Justice's demands about treating mental health people with more respect or reducing the amount of violence. This is about glamorizing how the police use violence, which, according to them, they don't do very often. So it's very disturbing that a group that's supposed to be representing the citizens of our community is trying to raise $1,000 per person to show only the quote unquote exciting stuff that police do.
It sounds like a TV program. It sounds like a bad movie. I was just amazed when I saw this. The Citizens Crime Commission, that's who's putting this deal on, and it's on April 1st.
Yeah, and I'm sure nobody listening to KBOO is planning to spend $1,000 just to go and see what they're doing. But I've been to that training facility and walked through all the sections of it, and the police at the events that I go to, which has to do with the oversight of the DOJ agreement, or in some cases the oversight of individual incidents, they don't talk about the use of violence as though it's something that they enjoy doing or that it's something that's a good thing to do. They always say, police always try to work to not have to work. We don't go out looking to use violence. And yet here's this...
they're raising money based on looking for violence.
And just so you know, the $1,000 isn't going directly to the Citizens Crime Commission itself. It's also going to the Portland Police Foundation, which I'm not really sure I haven't had a time to look up exactly what they fund, but it's a private foundation that you shouldn't be using our public buildings.
Yeah, I was going to say this doesn't sound right. This is they are private. That's as much as I found out, because I just got this, and they are a private foundation. And then I'd like to know exactly more about what they do, and I'm going to give them a call and try to find out. But this was just so. Such an extraordinary slap in the face for anybody who's ever suffered at the hands of the police, anybody who's ever experienced violence or been a victim of some of these practices. We really wanted to talk, though. Thank you for addressing that. Comments on the medical custody, property, and other directives. We may not have time to get through all of this today, and if that's the case, then we want to have you back. Let's, if you don't mind, take up first the emergency medical custody transports. That's an interesting directive in and of itself, coming in the wake of the death of James Chassie.
Yeah. So it was first put into place in 2007, which was a year after James Chassie died. The police officers had beaten him on the sidewalk and crushed his rib cage, and he had actually gone unconscious, and the emergency medical services people showed up, and basically the cops said, "You're not taking him to the hospital, we're taking him to jail." And then they got to the jail, and the jail eventually said, "We can't keep this guy here, he's passing out, you have to bring him back to the hospital." And he died on the way there. So they created this thing that said that they had to reveal to the emergency medical people any violence that they used, which the police did not do in that case. And that they have to take some paperwork called a pre-hospital treatment worksheet if the emergency medical people say it's okay for the police to take them to jail instead of the hospital. But it's really not 100% clear that statement that it's okay for him not to go to the hospital is on that worksheet in any way. So, this is the kind of thing where they're very, very specific about some things. Like, there's another directive in here that has to do with filing paperwork, and it says to use the pink copy, not the yellow copy.
Yes.
But in this one, it doesn't say make sure that the professional medical person says...
Try to keep the person alive as long as possible. Someone should take... I mean, you've done a lot of work on this. This is something that the public ought to be aware of. We, have, as always, are running out of time quickly in this program, and I'd like to very much, if you have the time, I'd like to very much have you back. I want to talk about the medical service policy, but we are closing in on that 15-minute deadline, and I'd like it if you could possibly leave listeners with a final thought to bear in mind about what some of these directives, and we'll get to all of them eventually, what these directives, particularly medical transport, mean to a citizen who might find themselves being medically transported after being arrested. More people get arrested every day.
Well, some of the issues here have to do with how they describe people who are in a mental health crisis, and they use a term called excited delirium, which is not an actual medical term, and that is a term that the organization that manufactures tasers made up and became part of the general public discourse, even though it's not a medical term. So in general, I think everybody needs to be concerned that the police are using language that's going to jeopardize people's lives. And I think that we have to keep an eye on these directives. They come up with a bunch of them every month. They post them on their website, and anybody can comment on them.
Thank you so much for that, Dan. Please do join us again very soon. We want to take up each one of those, and we'll have more time on a future show. This has been Nair Cascadia for Tuesday, March 1st, 2016. Janet Anderson engineered the show today. Thanks, Janet. Kathleen Stevenson is the KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts. Know your rights. Take a stand. Thanks for listening, and stay tuned.